Hi, I'm David Edmonds of the BBC World Service, and this is The Big Idea. I found the most fascinating ideas around and the people who thought them up, and I'm going to do my best to explain them. Today's big idea: does it matter if President Trump is not normal?
Thought of, but nobody likes me. It can only be my personality, that's all.
Love him or loathe him, President number 45 has not been a typical occupant of the White House.
And now the poor guy, you got to see this guy. Oh, I don't know what I said. I don't remember. He's going like, I don't remember.
It's not just that Donald Trump is doing certain things that, say, members of the Democratic Party would be really opposed to. It's that Donald Trump is doing things that people thought no one would ever do that. That's just abnormal. That's just outside the bounds of what seemed to be possible.
Joshua Knobe is a philosopher and psychologist at Yale.
Things like ridiculing a disabled reporter or making openly misogynist remarks or creating demeaning nicknames for one's political opponents. These aren't just things that the Democratic Party is opposed to, but say another party might be in favor of. These are things that a lot of people thought aren't even in the bounds of what a president could possibly do.
If I say of someone, she's just a normal person, or he's just a normal guy, that's usually taken to be a compliment. But what do we mean when we say something is normal?
The first way that we might think about the normal is just a purely statistical way, just what is frequent. So if you're thinking about, say, what kind of music someone listens to, it's extremely frequent to listen to hip-hop, maybe a little bit less frequent to listen to rock and roll. And then other forms of music are less frequent, like if someone mostly listens to calypso or mostly listens to 20th century classical music or something, these are less frequent kinds of music. And so in a certain sense, you might say it's more normal to listen to hip-hop than it is to calypso, just in a purely statistical sense.
So that's straightforward. If you're a neutral football supporter and were offered a choice of which international team to watch, it would be more normal to choose Brazil over, say, Eritrea. The normal is partly just a question of numbers. But then there's also a value, or what philosophers call a normative component.
There might be a norm in, say, an academic department that all graduate students are supposed to complete a certain kind of assignment by the end of their second year. Of course, it might be that the majority of them don't do that. But still, in this other sense of a norm, what we'd say then is that the majority of people are disobeying the norm and only a minority are obeying the norm.
Suppose you see somebody finish their can of fizzy drink and casually drop it on the pavement. You might think, that's not normal behaviour, even if you thought that the majority of people were sometimes guilty of littering. This is use of the term normal in a value sense. The normal, then, has both a statistical and a value component. But how do people, normally use the term normal?
We conducted studies looking at numerous different kinds of judgments. Judgments about, say, how much TV someone watches in a day, what a normal kind of grandmother is, what a normal salad is.
My wife puts pineapple in salad. I think we can all agree that's just not normal. So what did Joshua Knobe find? Do people use the concept in the statistical or the value way?
What we find in all of these cases is there's some kind of mixture of the two. So for example, suppose you ask one group of people, what is the statistically average amount of TV to watch in a day? Participants in that group just tend to give really high numbers. They say a very large number of hours is the statistically average amount of TV to watch in a day. And then if you ask another group of people, what's the prescriptively ideal, the absolutely best amount of TV to watch in a day? Participants in that group tend to give really low numbers.
Then Knobe and his fellow researchers asked a third group of subjects what was the normal amount of TV to watch.
What people think is the normal amount of TV to watch in a day isn't what they think is the average. It's something between the average and the ideal.
So if you think that on average people actually watch 4 hours of TV a day, and you believe they should only watch 1 hour, you're likely to say that a normal amount of TV is, say, 2 or 3 hours. There were some intriguing cross-cultural comparisons. Americans will typically distinguish between how people actually behave and how they should behave. Elsewhere, people find this distinction more difficult to draw.
If you ask an American, for example, can you lie to your parents? An American might think, well, on one hand, it's wrong to lie to your parents. That's not what you should do. But on the other hand, you can do it. It's possible. If you tried your best to lie to your parents, you could succeed in doing it. And then if you look, for example, at studies on Nepalese participants, so asking them these same kind of questions, these things that are morally wrong to do, can you do them? Then what you find is a really different pattern of response, that the Nepalese participants will just say, it's impossible. You cannot do that.
There's much we don't know about the normal. For example, how attitudes to the normal evolve. An intriguing example in the Western world concerns same-sex marriage.
If you look at, for example, what's been happening with gay marriage, it seems like for a really long time, there people never saw any gay people who were married to each other, and it was something that people saw very, very infrequently. And now, suddenly, you're starting to see people who are legally married who are in same-sex relationships. It's becoming quite frequent. And now a question arises, what happens in that case? When the statistical frequency of something suddenly changes, does people's perception that it's normal change suddenly, or does it change more gradually? We don't know the answer to those questions.
This is particularly relevant in our post-COVID world and what some people call the new normal.
We now recommend face coverings are worn in these settings, and this will become enforceable in law from the 8th of August.
Suddenly, all of these behaviors that previously were very normal to engage in, like going to a party with a whole bunch of people all unmasked, are suddenly incredibly infrequent behaviors. Are those behaviors suddenly being seen as not normal? Or is it that we think they are normal, but we can't just do them right now?
Of course, the more we see of something, the more normal we're likely to think it is. There's evidence, however, that the main influence on our perception of the normal is not the behaviour of a president or celebrity, but that of friends and neighbours. But why does any of this matter? Why does it matter if something once regarded as abnormal now seems normal? Well, because when something's normal, it becomes, as it were, an option.
There are all sorts of behaviours that are morally bad and that we would condemn, but that we also know that people do. We know that people sometimes cheat on their spouses. We don't think of that as abnormal in this sense, something just outside the bounds of anything that anyone could possibly do. And then there are other behaviours that are really different from that. They seem like they're not just morally bad. They're not just things that ultimately you should choose not to do. They're things that we might imagine no one would ever even consider in the first place. And it's there that normalization makes a difference. Not that it allows us to approve of things that we wouldn't normally approve of, that it allows us to even consider things that we might not normally have even considered.
The traditional left and the right in politics have deep disagreements. They might even regard the other side's views on tax or redistribution or healthcare as morally abhorrent. But they don't think of their opponents' views as abnormal.
Although we have a representative in Congress who they say was here a long time ago, they call her Pocahontas.
Why is it appropriate for the president to use a racial slur in any context?
I don't believe that it is appropriate for him to make a racial slur or anybody else.
I wonder whether we should judge a society by what it refuses to discuss.
That's a great point. We can actually make that same point, not just at the level of a society, but the level of each individual person. So when you're faced with a certain question, then you have to deliberate about that question. You consider certain options, certain things that you could do, and you choose one over the others. This thing, just which options did you even consider in the first place, is a really good measure of someone's moral judgments. If you're considering how to win a presidential race, and then you say ultimately, you know, I really don't think we should kill the other person, that would be morally wrong, then in doing that, even though you chose not to select that option, you've already gone wrong somehow, even by thinking that you shouldn't select that option.
So, rejecting a morally reprehensible course of action, like shooting an opponent, may not reveal you in a good light. On the contrary, it may expose you as a villain. Well, that's it for this edition of The Big Idea on the BBC World Service. I'm David Edmonds. Neither myself nor series producer Robbie Wojciechowski is entirely statistically normal. And together we've created some more off-beam big ideas available at bbcworldservice.com. Thanks for downloading this edition of The Big Idea on the BBC World Service. If you enjoy the series, please rate it on whichever platform you get your podcasts. And if you have a recommendation for a big idea, you can contact me on Twitter at DavidEdmonds100. This was a BBC Radio Current Affairs production for the BBC World Service.
I like that.
I don't think I like that.
This is the sound of crowd science.
Those very alarming sounds around. It's quite normal.
This is what women want. They want a man that can eat a stick.
I have a brilliant trowel.
That's tiny.
What you should see now is a cloud.
No way.
Each week, the Crowd Science podcast answers your questions about life, Earth, and the universe.
Are there foreseeable limits to knowledge?
It's an excellent question. Actually, it's a very deep question.
With the help of scientists around the world who are trying to find new answers themselves.
We think that people have a little more control over their brainwaves than they think they do.
That's Crowd Science from the BBC World Service.
We smash things together and we'll see what happens.
Just search for Crowd Science wherever you get your podcasts.
You've got brain freeze.